I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Oliville, Eric Bickle, and Jason Bishop.
Yeah.
This is just a little nitpicky thing, Jason, but you know how you wanted to transition from Lurch to Bish?
Yeah.
Why then, when you set up your Zoom, do you set it up as Lurch so that everybody sees Lurch on your screen?
I don't think I put that in there. I don't know why. I never entered a name on Zoom.
I think you can change your name.
Okay. Tell me how to do it.
I think you should change it to Bishbox.
I would. They never asked me what name do you want underneath your picture.
No, but I think it starts, it just takes whatever you first enter when you set up the Zoom account. You set up the Zoom account, correct?
I assume I did, but they didn't ask me for a nickname.
Well, I should change mine to Money Metal Cakes. What am I doing putting my stupid real name up there? I'm all about brand building. I don't care about putting John Allville out there.
Unless someone did that for me.
I think it took whatever name. So if somebody set up your Zoom account, then that's what it is. But I think it just it when you set up the Zoom account initially, it just took your name, and that's what it puts at the bottom of your screen.
I thought Drab set it up for me.
So maybe he set yours up, and he just put
because you guys were still doing. You guys were still in the studio, and I was
right
at home. I don't remember setting it up, and I certainly didn't enter Lurch. Why would I have done that? I hate the name.
I don't remember setting yours up.
You could easily change it.
Yeah. We'll do that today, then.
I'm going to change mine.
But you guys have your names.
I'll change mine. I don't care. I think it looks dumb, the name. I'd like to get the name out.
Yeah, see, there you go. Someone already changed it.
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
Is that
Aaron? Aaron changed it?
Everybody's going to run shtick now.
Or Doug.
See, I think either NBC, I think the guys at NBC Sports Washington set it up, or Drabby did it.
Yeah, I think I put my name in.
So that's a false accusation from Joe Pa.
No, I didn't. I just was saying that it was confusing because you want to own Bish and bring Bish back. And
Bish
every
Bucks.
Day I'm looking at the screen.
I have a new name. I got a new name up there.
Right.
Check it out. Need endorsements. This is gonna be a new revenue stream for us.
I knew it was gonna start a new
brilliant. Thank you, JP. Thank you for this brainstorm.
You're welcome.
I love that, Case.
I'm gonna rename
it
again.
Where do you change the name? Show me.
At the bottom? Click on your picture and it says rename.
Click on the picture.
It's pretty tough. You see it? Right click on it, Rick.
I have a new name.
Wave Soda Silly. Yes.
Okay, can I put my name in there?
Yes, you can. Fire King. What a new name.
No.
Mike Walker II.
Every day it'll be a new one.
Yeah, of course it will. Let's see EB's new name. EB Offenbacher. Yes, now you're in the spirit, E-Bizzle. Now we're doing it.
I'll do it. Maybe I'll do that every break.
Of course.
I got to do Mike Walker because I got a sick test.
I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if this is going to work, but this is my new name.
That's inside. All right, hold on. I'm gonna change mine. You know what I'm gonna do? I want to please everybody.
Yep, got to do it. I have a new name.
You do.
Got a new name.
Good bit.
Yeah, there we go. Got to get the sponsors out there.
Man,
this is we'll be obsessed with this the rest of today's show.
Is this a good radio bit?
Yes. I don't know.
For TV.
No.
What do you think?
It's a terrible radio bit.
The truth is...
But it makes us laugh.
No one's listening on the radio anymore. It sucks. No one's driving.
I'm going to have a different name every day now.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've got JaVale on the line who wanted to talk about the Coach K deal. Let's go to JaVale real quick. You're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
What's up, JaVale? Man?
Just trying to have some fun.
Good, man. Hey, E.B.
Yes, sir.
I dig you, man. But there's no way possible that those allegations are true that Coach K did not know. It's not possible. He controls everything Duke, especially Duke basketball. And Coach K was one of the most outspoken coaches, and he was against the one-and-done players more than anybody.
Of course, but that's a big leap. I understand that. That's a big leap to go from being against one-and-doners to basically looking the other way while guys are getting paid. That's a big leap.
He wants to win, my man. He wants to win.
You know what? I'm telling you. Here's who knows.
Give me a chance. Hear me out for a second.
All right.
When he wasn't winning, okay, he began recruiting the one-and-done players, and then he became involved with USA Basketball, and that allowed him more access to the kids when they were on the 17, 18, 19 U teams, even before, you know, they were juniors and seniors in high school, you know, being recruited, you know. And you made the one of you guys said something about, you know, you have to have one and done players. Well, Coach K, he's a powerful man, and Duke is one of the best college programs in the country. But over the past 7 years, Duke has not been even the best program in the ACC because that's been Tony Bennett at Virginia, and he doesn't have to recruit those players. You know, so I think it's the pressure of winning and the legacy, and he's on his way out. And if those allegations are true, there's no way that he didn't know.
Well, so far, the allegations by an independent investigator or investigators they've said they found zero evidence. Now, I'll trust Gary on this. Gary knows Coach K better than you and better than me.
Mm-hmm.
If Gary says to me, you know, at a coffee or over a beer, oh, yeah, he knows. He's looking the other way. Then I'll take it. But up to this point, because I think Gary has a ton of respect for Coach K from the interactions that we've had with him through the years. And I just think he, Bobby Knight, Gary Williams, I don't know, there are a few guys that I just think, no. I just think, no, they're not looking the other way. You know who I think looks the other way?
Patino.
Bill Calipari. Patino.
But you know what? Duke players have been paid before. I'm not saying he knew about it, but.
Right. That's different.
Yeah. I understand
you can't
that.
Know everything, too.
But Coach Kate's not stupid. He can't assume that every one of his guys is squeaky clean. This is not the way recruiting is now.
And you can't get away with you can't know everything when these guys are, they're the overlords of their programs. They basically know everything that's going on.
Everything.
Or they should.
Everything.
They don't know everything.
What if it does come out and he had knowledge of this, what type of sanctions get handed down to Duke and Coach K?
Well,
I don't know. Nothing's really happened to these other schools yet.
Yeah, nothing happens. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
I think it kind of depends on who it is. And it depends on what the evidence is, too.
Look, I'm probably wrong because I always have faith in people, and they always end up being frauds. So you're probably very right.
I don't think it'll ever come out.
Have a good day, man.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
Good call. I don't think it'll ever come out. I mean, for us to find out that Coach K knew about it, I mean, there's got to be like – audio, or there's got to be text messages or emails. I don't think that's ever. There's no way Coach K was talking to, you know, the handler from Nike. I'm just saying for him to say, he could have said, I just don't want to know what's going on. Just let me know if he's going to come or not. You know, that's a little different than him knowing or handing cash over.
Mm-hmm.
I just changed my name again to Will Take Shady Money.
I know, so I see that.
But, Eric, isn't it possible that Coach K is a phony? I mean, his whole holier-than-thou persona is fake.
That's what I'm suggesting, that he's not a phony, because I think Gary would have told me. If you talked to him off air, in person.
I don't think he's a phony.
I think you're a phony
kind
if
of
he's...
A phony.
I just think JaVale's right. And the pressure to win is so great now that you've got to do extra things. You've got to maybe cross the line a little bit to get these kids. Well, and again, I don't know. I'm not accusing Coach K of cheating. I'm just saying I would not be surprised if that happened, that he knew something was going on, something shady.
Cakes, look at my name now.
EB's new name. Half taking shady money. Very good. I like it. I like where you're going with this.
Well, I'm just playing off yours.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
We're just riffing here.
It's not really true. I'm just playing off yours.
No, never true. Of course it can't be true.
No, I don't know why I'm putting Coach K on a pedestal, because all these guys end up being frauds. Everyone's a phony. Everyone's got a dark, you know, part to their lives. Everyone's got a closet. Nobody's squeaky clean. So I'm probably wrong. But for some reason, I'm putting Coach K on a pedestal. I would be surprised if he not knowingly took a player who had been tainted before, because that's almost impossible with the way the AAU scene has been described to me.
Mm-hmm.
But if he knowingly took a guy because there was sneaker money that pushed him to Duke, or they knowingly took a guy because there was an alum that gave him a $100,000 under the table job watering the grass. If that happened, then he is a fraud, and I'm a naive fool. I don't believe it.
But again, you're probably not going to, even if he knew something, you probably can't prove it.
I have no idea. Would they ever get Zion in a position where he has to testify under oath?
I don't know. Depends on what they find.
Maybe.
Because if you get him in a position where he has to testify under oath, I mean, what does he have to lose if he says, yeah, I took money, or yeah, I took a car?
Right.
You know what I mean? Corey Maggette, he admitted to it.
Right, but I'm assuming, what was the, go over the Maggette allegations again.
Well, I don't know. He took money from the
AAU coach.
The Piggy dude.
Right, from Piggy, whatever his name was,
Myron
Piggy. So he took money from Myron Piggy, and Myron Piggy was what, a sneaker guy?
I don't know if he was a sneaker guy. He was just a guy who...
AAU guy?
Yeah, who paid these players in return for them paying him back once they signed NBA contracts.
Right. Did that have anything to do with Duke, though? Other than
investigation, I think the investigation revealed that they didn't know about it at the time. Yeah,
right.
But my point is, guys were getting paid at Duke before. You know, Coach K obviously found out about it after the fact, but I don't know if he can look himself in the mirror and go, "All right, all my guys are squeaky clean. None of them are getting paid." I just can't imagine.
He can do that. I understand that, but I don't think that he's knowingly taking guys where they're being influenced to go. I just think he's above that, but I could be wrong.
You could be wrong, but you could be right.
I'm probably wrong.
Could be wrong, but you could be right.
I think you're taking some liberties with the Billy Joel lyric.
I'm changing the lyrics a little bit.
You're paraphrasing, but I knew where you were going with it.
Right.
I like Jason's screen name. Bad Company's favorite band.
Yep.
Good bit. It's a good extended remix bit. You love Paul Rogers. Who doesn't?
Right.
So funny.
At some point, I want to talk about what Dave Portnoy did with Goodell, trolling Goodell. Now, Jason is not a Barstool guy, so he doesn't even know. Do you know who Dave Portnoy is?
I know who he is, but I don't know what the story is, no.
So you know the backstory of Portnoy, right?
Right.
The head guy of Barstool and, you know, huge company now. And part of the reason why he got famous and Barstool blew up is his wars with Roger Goodell over, like, Deflategate, over, you know, anything Patriots related. Huge Pats fan, right?
Okay.
Remember they did the sit-in, they got arrested. And Goodell a few years ago, and believe me, I'm sure I'm getting some of these details wrong, but Goodell a few years ago basically banned him from all NFL events. He's not allowed to
go to the Super Bowl.
Can't go to the Super Bowl, and yet he always gets a ticket and gets thrown out and puts it on social media and is genius. He can't go to the media day. He always wears a costume, goes to media day, gets thrown out.
Right.
Goodell, remember when he did the terrible bit from the dungeon of his terrible house?
Right.
And he did the draft, and he loved the AD so much that it's truly what it came down to, that he said, people like being in my man cave so much that we're going to offer Monday Night Football. We'll have ESPN cameras in my man cave, and you could sit in my chair.
He's so out of touch. Nobody uses the term man cave.
Yeah, nobody uses man cave anymore.
Right.
No one wants to sit in your dumb chair. But anyway, they put up an auction, and Portnoy bid for it. One, he spent $250,000to sit in his – he won the auction to sit in Goodell's chair.
Is he going to allow it?
Well, that's the question. Can he back out? Now, if it was a radio contest, as we all know, there's FCC rules. You can't change the rules. Now, maybe there's some fine print in there that Portnoy and his lawyers didn't see before they began the bidding.
Uh-huh.
But he and the money, all, by the way, all goes to COVID relief or whatever. Yeah. So something COVID-related.
If Goodell doesn't let Portnoy come into his basement, he looks like the world's biggest coward.
It is.
He has to do it.
It is the
biggest
troll job.
Especially if the money is going to COVID relief.
It's the biggest troll job in history. It's the greatest. It's the most insanely genius idea that only a guy with FU money. And by the way, it's already paying off PR-wise because it's hysterical.
Although if someone can back out of a deal, the commissioner of the NFL can.
Right. But then, you know, Portnoy's got money too. He can attack him. Now, he doesn't have NFL money, but... You know, he can use this to their company's favor. It is the most brilliant troll job I've ever seen.
It's pretty damn funny.
I can't believe you spent $250,000 on it.
$250,000 just to taunt him.
Well, true, but the money is all going to COVID relief, correct?
Right. Correct. Yeah. Right. So what people are saying Goodell could do is just pay $300,000 himself. You know, and say, yeah.
Oh, so overbid. But so I still outbid think, Portnoy.
JP, you might know as a lawyer, that's still like, there got to be like some sort of like lottery rule or something, that law or something that he's violating.
I don't know enough of the details there, but I think that ultimately he'll just have Portnoy there because that's how he would win the PR
correct.
Battle.
It would be the best move for Goodell to let him sit in there.
He's got
to
do it.
But Portnoy will exploit that too.
Sure. He's a brilliant marketer.
The guy's a genius.
That you have to pass a background check. It says right there on the option. Right.
Well, he doesn't have. It's not like he's got any felony convictions.
Well, I mean, he's banned for life from the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to get back to Major League Baseball's proposal and David Sampson, former Marlins exec, now with CBS Sports HQ, Major League Baseball analyst. He's got proposed rule changes and when Major League Baseball should return. So we'll get into that next here on the Junkies.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Earlier in the show, we talked about Major League Baseball and their proposal to get back to games here in the coming months. We're going to get into that and David Sampson's proposal with our next guest who joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It is the aforementioned David Sampson, now with CBS Sports HQ, of course, spent over 20 years as a Major League Baseball executive. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing all right. I read your article about your proposal, and one of the things that you start off talking about is testing. And you say testing is not a plan. Why don't you kind of get into what they would need to do, in your opinion, in terms of testing?
Well, I think before we can talk about any negotiation regarding economics or schedule changes or DHs, in order to play baseball, we need to have testing, and not just of the players and not just once. I think there needs to be testing every other day for anybody who comes in contact that is who is necessary to actually have a game. So just go all the way from when your day starts and you're on the road. You've got housekeepers in the road hotel where you're staying, the bus driver who drives the players to the game, the clubhouse attendants, the security personnel, any members of the media who are part of it, cameramen, just anybody who is a part of putting on a baseball game. I'm talking about testing every day, plus contact tracing, pilots, flight attendants, luggage handlers. All of these people actually are part of our traveling crew to have a baseball game. So for me, before we get into any arguments and people start entrenching themselves in economic positions, there have to be enough tests available and agreement that everyone will be tested every other day.
Well, they could do that right now if they wanted. They just hire a private company. I don't think they're that far away from it. They obviously don't want public backlash, but they could do that right now if they wanted.
So what they need is public cover, right? Because you don't want to act as though or look as though or be perceived as though you're taking tests away from people
right.
who may need them more than you as a sports industry. This is not like post 9/11, right, where baseball was used by the country to heal and to have a distraction during wartime. This is totally different. This is a pandemic. So I don't think that we should get confused by the romanticism of baseball used as a healing or sports used as healing. It's a business like a restaurant, like an amusement park, like an airline, like a cruise company. Baseball is a business and has to act accordingly.
So from what you're hearing, is that the plan, that they're going to do the testing every other day, or is that just your opinion of it?
So that's my opinion of it. I think that there's people in the industry who recognize that it's necessary, both players and owners, and it's just a matter of understanding at what point this country will be in a position to have those tests available, not just to people with the most money, but for anybody who needs them. And it's not just a matter of whether you need them or not. Because of the asymptomatic nature of this virus, we need to be able to understand who's being infected and who could be infecting who, because this virus just spreads in such a way that if you get it and you're the wrong type of person, it can be fatal. And I don't think baseball wants to be responsible for anybody dying.
Now, when it comes to on the field, as we talked to David Sampson, longtime Major League Baseball exec, now with CBS Sports HQ, how do you enforce something like the no spitting? You believe the players on the field, they can't spit, you know, and some of these hygiene type things. How do you enforce that?
You can't.
So there's a lot of rules we would have during my 18 years in the clubhouse, and we would count on self-policing. So here's how it would work. Imagine if you are now walking down the street once things open and you go to a restaurant and you're sitting at a table 6 feet away and the person next to you gets food in his mouth and spits it right next to you. Likely you're going to say, hey, could you not do that, please? Because otherwise I'm not going to be around you. So I think that players are just going to police themselves and realize that there is a rule that you can't spit sunflower seeds or chew tobacco. But yeah, players are going to violate it because players are addicted to tobacco and they're addicted to chewing seeds and chewing gum during a game. But the rule is meant, it's not that we're going to punish them or fine them if they violate it. They're going to be in trouble by themselves if they test positive, and they're going to feel, can you imagine if you feel by spitting that you could actually endanger the parent of one of your teammates? You're probably going to be more careful about what you do.
Dave, you're going to say that, too, that each player is going to have their own cooler, that they would not share sunflower seeds, they wouldn't share any of the snacks, drinks, Gatorade, that sort of thing, that they each would have their own cooler right there in the dugout, right?
It's not going to happen. They're not going to do that.
We're going to have 30 coolers?
Yes, because I've been there. I'm not talking about 30 Gatorade-sized coolers. You don't need that. It would be individual Gatorade bottles that everyone – it's like when you bring a cooler to a game when you are doing a tailgate. All we would do was tape the name of the player. It's like they have their own bat rack right now. They don't mix bats. The players have specific places where their bats go. This is necessary to do, and it's really not a big deal, including the fact that the food room will be different with no buffets. Buffets are done, guys, and that's okay.
That's good.
We'll
the buffets are terrible.
The players.
Yeah.
I've been asking for buffets to go away for 20 years. They're so gross.
So I think you're getting your wish. And in the clubhouse, it's no problem. We'll have individually packaged meals for each player because players request what they want anyway. So this way, it'll just be packaged for them. And having it to go is not the end of the world. where you eat it not with four people at a small round table inside a clubhouse food room. We just have to be smart how we have players report to the field, do it in shifts. They go home when they're done playing, even if it's in the middle of the game. By the way, that happens in spring training. There's not one major league player who knows the result of a spring training game from the starting lineup of your team because they're gone by the fifth inning. They just don't know, and that's okay.
Now, David, your proposal on CBSSports.com is to have opening day August 1st, 81-game regular season going through Halloween, followed by playoffs in November. Do you think once this is all said and done, once the agreement is reached, that it follows that sort of timeline?
Well, the aspirational timeline is starting in early July. I just don't think it's reasonable because I don't think we're where we need to be from a health standpoint and a logistics standpoint, even though we're only right now in the middle of, I think it's the middle of May. I've actually lost track of months. May 10th today or something. So there's time for
May
July
12th.
4th. May 12th.
Yeah.
Am I the only one forgetting what date it is all the time?
No, everyone's doing it.
No, David, it took you so long to write the article. This is a long article. You're losing track of the days, my friend.
Right.
It's possible. In my beer, I'm looking more like Tom Hanks in Castaway every day.
Yeah.
But luckily, I have Wilson to help me. So the bottom line is I just think July is an aspirational date. I don't think we'll be where we need to be from a testing standpoint. I think that an agreement can happen between the union and the owners, but that's going to take some time, but there is time for that. There's going to be a lot of public discourse and a lot of anger by people in public saying, how could these millionaires fight with the billionaires? All of that stuff that happens, there needs time for it to happen. That's why they're starting now.
I agree with that. Now, one of the rules in the Korean League, I believe, is no high-fiving. And like you said, David, these players are going to violate. I mean, a guy in right field, Bryce Harper is going to spit in right field. I mean, that's what they do. And by the way, you're not going to get the virus if a guy spits in right field. I mean, it's so stupid.
And guys are going to share sunflower seeds.
Right. And a guy's going to pick up the wrong Gatorade bottle. But let's just say Ryan Zimmerman hits a grand slam down three, bottom nine, and they win by one. They're going to meet him at home plate, and they're going to dap him up, and they're going to hug him. I mean, players are going to violate this stuff. I mean,
no, they're
going to
be normal. They're going to be normal.
Right.
So I think that I hear what you're saying, and I think that they'll adapt, and here's why. Because when you're the Washington Nationals and you are defending your World Series championship, the last thing you want is to have any sort of outbreak on your team that would cause the games to go on because you've got a 45- or 50-man roster, but all your best players are quarantined for 2 weeks of a shortened season. They're going to want to be careful because there's no time for the Nationals to be the Nationals of 2019. They know very well you can't start off 10 games under 500 and find your way and claw your way back even with expanded playoffs. You need the full 162 to do that. So I think that they will be more careful. And you're right. In right field, spitting by yourself, you're fine. But spitting in a dugout where particles will – it's a respiratory-based virus. If you're spitting next to someone who's a foot away from you, then you end up getting that on. And it doesn't spread by sweat. So that is true. But when it does spread, if you shake hands with someone and then you touch your own mouth or your own nose, that's when you have a problem. So I think players will adjust because they don't want to get anyone, including themselves, sick.
David, what do you do under your proposal with first base coaches, third base coaches? What about an older manager like Dusty Baker?
So as an employer, it's going to be really hard to force any employee to come back to work who doesn't want to. And you've heard some players saying that they're not comfortable. And like any company, when companies open up, there are employees who are going to say, I'd rather still work from home. I can do my job from home. In baseball, if a player says he's not comfortable as a team president, I would try, and this is not a popular thing to say, I would try to pressure that player into playing and saying, listen, we need you. Your teammates need you. We are taking all the precautions necessary. Please help us enforce that these rules are not being violated, and we will keep you and everyone safe. But if at the end of the day the player just simply will not play, the game will go on. And there's nothing that I can do about that, and we'll have to play without that player. Same with the manager. I can't force Dusty Baker to manage under any scenario, but I will make it as safe as possible so that he is not in contact with anyone. So social distancing happening, and you talk about the first third base coach, you'd think that I had said that day no longer follows night. It is possible to have a game without a first and third base coach. The reason they're necessary is to give signs to players, and those signs can be given from the dugout 6 feet away from anyone else. Because in a regular game with fans, the reason why you have hand signals is that no one can hear. But in a fanless stadium, you can hear a mouse squeak.
Right, right.
So there will be the ability from a dugout to yell to a player, go to, which is saying go to second base, right, or go home from second on a single. And it's not a strategic disadvantage when one team knows that the other team has a runner going home. It'll all be okay.
So, David, one of the major hurdles that we haven't talked about is the money. So talk about that. Major League Baseball wants the 50-50 split on revenue, but the players are saying, well, wait, we can't do that because there's not going to be much revenue if there's no fans. They want the prorated salaries that was agreed upon in March. So talk about that, and what do you think is going to happen there?
So revenue split is something that we want it always as owners, because it just sort of guarantees your expenses. When you run a company, you want to try to guarantee your level of expenses as a relation to revenue, because if revenue goes down, that's what normal people do, is you lower your expenses. In baseball, if our revenue goes down and our expenses stay the same, that cuts into profit margin, which is not what any business owner wants. So I understand why the owners want it. I understand why the players don't, because players are like all employees. They don't ever want to take pay cuts. But if you work for a public company whose stock price goes down and you don't get as big a bonus, that's part of life. You don't want it, but that's part of life. I don't think it ends up with a salary cap, but I do think players will end up having to give in and take a smaller proration than what they think they agreed to in March, which in fact they didn't agree to. But because as employees, they won't have much of a choice. But I agree that it won't be a salary cap, but we're just in the first inning of the negotiation. But both sides recognize that it would be absolute insanity to stand in front of the public and say, hey, every sport has started. We have enough testing. We've got all the health issues under control. But, man, we just can't come to an agreement. We'll see you next year. That's just not tenable to me. It's not going to happen.
Do you like the fact that they're going to play in their home parks, or would you rather have seen them play in one city?
No, I like home parks because I'm trying to have as many people in their beds as possible, home, right, where they can quarantine at home with family. That's why I don't like neutral site games, because you're doubling the number of players in a hotel and doubling the exposures. That's why in my schedule I have, you know, like 27 game road trips and 27 game homestands, because I want players in one place as much as possible. So I think that home parks are necessary. And one of the concerns I have is Toronto. The border's got to open up between Canada and the U.S., and I just hope that it opens up in time, because having the Blue Jays play in Dunedin is really deleterious to their ability to compete.
David, appreciate the time. As David Sampson, former MLB exec, you can check out his article at cbssports.com. Thanks, pal.
Good stuff.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, David. Fellas, there's never been a better time to clean out your garage than right now. Get rid of that old car, motorcycle. They'll even take the ATV or jet ski you haven't used in years, because when you donate to the Purple Heart Foundation, you're helping a veteran in need. It's free, tax deductible, and their drivers adhering to strict risk avoidance pickups. You won't even have to go outside. Schedule your pickup today at 888-414-4483 or visit purpleheartcars.org. That's 888-414-4483 or visit purpleheartcars.org.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Chuck is coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Every morning at this time, we do a World Series rewind. Today, we look back to August 14th last year, where the Nationals just completely pummeled the Reds, winning 17-7
over.
And at that point in the season, they really had started to roll. Here's our World Series Rewind.
It's the World Series Rewind. Presented by Waldorf Honda, the first and largest remote car delivery dealership for sales and service in the DMV area. Waldorf Honda has kept it simple. Visit their website, waldorfhonda.com.
Now the set of the pitch. Swing and a high drive to deep left center field. Way back to the warning track, to the wall, and it's gone! Goodbye! Winker runs out of room in the Brewhouse Red Seats. It's a three-run homer for Kurt Suzuki, his 13th home run of the year. Bang! Zoom goes Suzuki. It's the Nationals 11 and the Reds 1. A 10-run fifth inning.
So that was Kurt Suzuki with the three-run blast, 10-run inning, just offensive fireworks for the Nats in that game. You're not going to find a nicer dude than Kurt Suzuki. I mean, we've had him in the last few times we were down in West Palm.
Super nice
guy.
For
spring training. And really good dude. And just a big highlight for him.
And he got hot in the second half of the season, if I remember correctly. I don't remember anything anymore, but I remember he got hot. Then he got hurt, but he was swinging a hot bat for a while.
And at that
there.
Point in the season, August 14th, they were a wild card team, and we knew they were going to get to the playoffs. Or they would have a good chance of getting to the playoffs. And then, of course, they just went on the roll
right.
to win the World Series.
And right. Trevor Bauer just got completely punked in that game. He gave up a career-worst 9 runs in 4 1/3. And did you guys see the nugget about him? I guess he was on ESPN, like, within the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
And somehow they put up his phone number, on his personal phone number
on
the screen. Got inundated with calls. I mean,
of course he did. Text.
He took it well, but I mean, ESPN was just a major gaffe there.
I assume he changed his number.
Yeah, I would assume he changed his number after that.
But getting back to the Sampson interview, if baseball does come back the way they want to, I know that they're going to have to be cognizant of social distancing at some points, but players are players. Athletes are athletes.
100%.
You know, they're going to do the same things that they did. It's just a natural reaction for
kids
them.
Are doing the same thing. I go, you know, my kid and his coach, they had a social distancing workout, and they really did abide by it, but I was, you know, they were outside, but you're watching, and over the field, there was a soccer practice going on. Coaches, parents on the sidelines, and little kids playing soccer.
Yeah.
I mean,
but they're not playing soccer and not touching each other. I mean, they're playing soccer.
But baseball players are going to touch each other.
Yeah, baseball players are going to high-five each other. They're going to share sunflower seeds.
Maybe they won't. Maybe they realize.
They will. They're young.
It's not impossible. You don't have to high-five somebody at the home plate. You don't have dip in the same sunflower seed.
It's outrageous. They can do it. This idea that we shouldn't be touching each other for something that looks like it has a mortality rate of 0.2 is insane. Now, if you're an older person, you probably shouldn't, you know, kiss somebody right now while the virus is around.
Cakes,
but if you're a 25-year-old elite athlete, you can high-five the other elite athlete.
If Juan Soto has a walk-off, you think they're going to stay 6 feet away from him?
No way.
There's
no way.
Maybe they do.
Maybe at times they do, but the natural instinct of an athlete is to celebrate.
A new form of celebration that doesn't mean jumping
we're not
all
used
over
to
each
it.
Other.
Yeah, but they're not used to it.
But Cakes, that's unnecessary. It's ridiculous.
What
but
if one of the players came in contact with somebody that got sick?
You're going to God forbid they'd sit out for a week.
Yeah, but Jason, when you say they're not used to it, you weren't used to playing golf where you couldn't share golf carts. You weren't used to playing golf.
Yeah, but that's different.
That's so easy. Yeah, but in the heat of the moment, I mean, these guys are going to celebrate.
His idea to give somebody a Gatorade bottle is fine.
The proposals may be aspirational. Like, these are the ideal circumstances. Like,
yeah, I get that.
Them going to the weight room in shifts.
Yeah,
he has
that's
them
different.
Sanitizing nonstop.
That's different.
You go through all the proposals. He has shifts for batting practice. Like he said, once you're out of the game, you don't stay in the dugout. You go home. They're minor things, and I think you would get used to it, much like you've gotten used to the new rules on the golf course.
They won't get used to that.
But here's the other thing, JP.
Players are going to celebrate like the way they've celebrated for 25 years. They're going to celebrate with other guys.
That we came up with are when we thought the mortality rate was like 3% or 4%. Turns out it's nowhere near that. It's like 0.2. It's a little bit more than the flu overall.
I've been trying to tell people that for weeks.
And for younger people, it's less than that.
Right, but you still don't want it. You still don't want to have
it. Of course you don't, but you don't change it. But you don't stop the world. You don't stop high-fiving people.
But again, Kicks, if these players are worried about it, the Sean Doolittles of the world, then they can choose not to play.
Okay, but if you feel that way, let me ask you this, Jason. Yeah. You had people come over to the house. I don't know that Eric did. If you feel that way, did you high-five your brother maybe when you saw him? Or did you, when the Moonies came over, did you actually have physical contact?
Of course. I gave my buddy Tom's wife a hug. Yeah, I hugged their kids. Of course, that's what I did.
Okay. I still haven't. Like, I went over to watch the UFC fights with two other guys. There was zippy contact.
Right.
Other than a bottle opener was passed.
Okay.
EB, when you visited your mom, you didn't have contact, right?
Well, that was your mother. You never should right now.
That's a different thing.
Maybe you had.
That's different.
I don't know if you saw your brother-in-law or something.
I've seen my brothers, and we've seen them outside. I see people outside.
Right, but do you dap them up? Do you give them a brother hug?
I have it in an extreme caution.
Correct.
But I'm telling you, I see it everywhere, and I'm just telling you how people react. Just study it. Just study what's going on, man.
It's my natural reaction to act that way.
Yeah.
I understand that, but my point is, look, whatever side of the fence you are in terms of what you believe, my point is you can adapt, and it's pretty easy to adapt because we all have.
I've seen
friends outside when I go for a walk that I normally would give, you know, like a little brother hug or shake their hand or something like that, and you just don't right now.
Yeah, but that's different. That's different than being on a team with some guy and traveling out of the year.
My point is...
And you're tested every day.
If they decide that that's the best practice, I don't think it's that hard to adjust.
They're tested every day.
To say that they can't do it, of course
they could. It's unnecessary. They're going to be tested every day.
I'm so angry about it, though.
Because
I think
we're asking people to change... The fundamental way that we live.
For the time being, much like you have changed for the time being.
Yeah, but now we know more.
At times you've changed, but you haven't changed 100% of your behavior.
And just use your brains.
Baseball players are going to celebrate big victories with their teammates. It's just going to happen. If one guy gets infected and he gets it, okay, well, he gets quarantined. Maybe another guy gets quarantined, but they're going to celebrate.
If the standard is players can't touch each other, you can't have games then. You just can't do it. You just don't do it. And if the standard is you got to wait until we know the long-term effects on a guy's kidneys, well, then just we'll never have sports again. You know, we'll just never have it.
His liver and his kidneys.
We're going to wait 10 years to find out what a long-term ramification is on a guy's lungs?
Correct.
We'll never play. Then it's just over. Then it's just over. Life as we know it is over.
I just think it's stay in your living room every single day.
I just think it's a lot more possible to change your behavior on the field, as we have all changed our behavior in everyday life.
But it's unnecessary if you're tested every day.
I'm not disputing that. But you guys were making the argument that it can't be done. Of course, it can be done.
No, I'm telling you, it won't be done. People won't do it
because that's the way humans react. We're not robots. We're not robots.
My son had his friends over here. And I said, just be outside. I made them be outside. But they were dapping each other up and playing ping pong and everything. I mean, you know.
JP, the way you've reacted the last 25 years of your life, it's hard after the last 6 to 8 weeks to just completely change your behavior.
I know, but we're have.
Not all. Not what do you mean we have? People are down at the boardwalk in the Thrashers line 2 feet away.
So I'm saying it's possible. You're acting like it's impossible.
Well, it is impossible to be on a team and not high five.
For all 30 guys, it is impossible.
It's impossible to be on a team and not high five your teammate or to not smack him on the butt after a nice play. It's just not going to happen. My daughter plays volleyball.
At all, especially if it's suggested.
Oh my God! But you are from another planet.
You guys are all touching balls.
From another planet.
You are from another planet.
JP, we've all changed our behavior. They could do it too.
I just told you I had people over on Saturday.
It's not. You're a donk. You've been flouting it the whole time.
I'm not flouting it. I'm just acting like a normal person.
Yeah,
that's what I've done for 50 years.
Under your scenario, we couldn't even play the sport because everyone touches the same ball. You know, they're throwing the ball. Like, there's going to be contact. We have to accept it. And if we're super scared of this right now, which is understandable, and we were a lot more scared 2 months ago because in some countries, in like Italy, the death toll was 10%. It was looking like it was mowing down 1 out of 10. So it's terrifying.
Now
it turns out it's like 0.2.
You didn't tell Paul Rabil when we had him on the show on Saturday that his guy shouldn't celebrate after scoring a goal.
I definitely didn't tell him. Somehow.
No.
Right.
I wonder
you think
why.
They're not going to? You think they're not going
why.
To?
Well,
you
of
think,
course. That's
you think in the
testing.
PLL tournament, they're not going to celebrate after scoring goals. They're going to hug each
other.
They're
going to jump all over each other. But they're also,
I was going to ask that question, but I didn't get it in.
Yeah. To satisfy everything, they're going to test because you don't want to unwittingly spread it to someone that's vulnerable. Of course not. It's a nightmare. This is a nightmare for my mom. This is a nightmare for your mom. This is a nightmare for my in-laws. This is a nightmare for someone that has chemo and diabetes. But for Juan Soto, it's not a nightmare. It's fine.
So frustrating.
He's going to have nothing. He probably won't even feel a symptom. He might have the sniffles.
All right, if you want to chime in, you can. 800-636-1067. We also want to get into the Mike Tyson video. New Mike Tyson video is getting everybody fired up. We'll get into that next here in the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.